Senate Finance will come to order. It's a pleasure to have Senator Bundy, Senator Hoffman, Senator Stedman, Co-Chair Wilken joining me today in Senate Finance. We'll have a couple of bills we'll be taking up today. One we heard yesterday for the first time, and I wanted to have some clarification. I felt perfectly sure that I understood everything, even though I am the co-sponsor. There was a couple of points that I didn't quite understand. And then we'll go on to Senate Bill 265, sponsored by Senator Stedman, Bonds and Bond Bank Authority. And Senator Wilken, do you have any announcements?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In regard to the Fast Track Supplemental, we have a full day tomorrow, so on Friday morning, we'll pick it up and take amendments with the intention, I hope, to pass it out and have it on the floor on Monday. So thank
Very
you.
Very good.
So anybody has amendments or questions, please get a hold of my office, and we'll be ready on Friday morning.
So that gives everyone time to review and get word to you. So mm-hmm. That's very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Yesterday, when we were having the meeting on Senate Bill 216, there was a couple of questions I wanted clarified, because I want to be sure that we're doing something that helps everyone involved. And I had asked Portia Parker to come back and give me the perspective from the Department of Corrections as kind of what's the downside right now for the Department of Corrections and what this bill does to correct that and make it a better system. Welcome, Portia.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the record, Portia Parker with the Department of Corrections. There may have been some confusion yesterday as to what the intent of the legislation is, how things work now, why the changes are needed, and then how it will work after this legislation is implemented. And the main concern is that what happens now is that when an offender is in custody, cannot make bail, and puts a request into the judge then can do a temporary order, temporary release. And when that is a release from custody, that the judge cannot order us to escort. That is something that the Department of Corrections determines through a request to the department. So the judge issues a temporary order, the prisoner is released. The problem is that when prisoners come back, they have contraband, they're under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and that adds a lot of work to corrections, as well as additional charges and dealing with the contraband issues. And then the other problem is that they don't return, which then starts another process of issuing, notifying the court that the offender's not returned as ordered, and then a warrant is issued and starts another process of trying to re-arrest the person, which then faces additional charges. So the system right now is creating a lot of work for different agencies, and it's our belief that these temporary releases are not needed and not justified. So the legislation takes away the ability of the judge to order these temporary releases. It still allows them, of course, to release the prisoner when they make bail. If they have a third party and reduced bail, they still have all those options available to them as far as bail. When the legislation passes, what this will allow is that if a pretrial or pre-sentence offender would like to do something outside of the facility, they can put in a request to corrections, and then corrections makes the decision on the appropriateness to escort that offender. It is not a release from custody, it's an escort. So they're still in the custody of the department that entire time. Okay. And we require that the offender or their family pay for the transport costs. We probably will get very few of these, of those type of, okay. Releases or requests for transport. Generally, we are doing them already for medical, if there's a necessary medical transport, or we can accommodate assessments, mental health pretrial, mental health reviews in the facility or telephonic, and the release we don't believe is necessary and is just creating a lot of extra work.
Thank you. Are there questions for Portia? Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. What are the numbers over the last few years of requested releases?
Madam Chairman.
Do you have that by correctional facility?
No, I do not. What I can say is that most of the pre-sentence releases that are going through the court are for assessments and medical-type appointments, which we can accommodate. We have fewer requests in the hub areas in Bethel and Nome because the providers tend to come to the facility and do those. As far as the, which are very different and not affected by this bill, but the requests for furlough or escorted transports, once they are sentenced, that we do those already, and so this would not be affected by the bill.
Any other questions? Thank you. Senator Huggins, did you have anything else to add, or?
No.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, that satisfies me and answers my questions, because I knew there was a specific thing I was missing, and I wanted to be sure we were making the system better through this, and I appreciate what we're doing and trying to figure out the proper way to have, you know, escort, or whether or not we should be having temporary orders and temporary releases and what that really does imply. I don't think any of us knew that it meant they're released and then they come back and re-enter the whole system again. So that's a good thing to know. Senator Hoffman.
Just one other question, I guess. What about the judicial branch? Do they have a position paper on this legislation?
Susan Parks is here. Judicial? No, she's not. Doug Wolliver was here. He said yesterday that they didn't have a position. Is that correct? Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to call him into your office and talk to him further, I'm sure his story would be the same if he came to your office and told you. Okay. Are there any other questions? Fiscal notes are indeterminate or zero. Senator Wilkin. Motion, please.
Madam Chair, move to report Senate Bill, Senate Bill 216, version L as in Lima, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
There objection? There being no objection, Senate Bill 216 moves from committee with individual recommendation and attached indeterminate zero fiscal notes. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Senate Bill 265, sponsored by Senator Stedman. Miles is here. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Bert Stedman. I represent District A, and today, in front of the Finance Committee, is Senate Bill 265, which is an extension of authority for the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority. And if I could, Madam Chair, just take a minute and kind of touch on the bond bank and what they do. Currently, they have a statutory maximum of 500 million in authority. And when we deal with our communities around the state, their ability to go out and borrow in the capital market is limited by their size and their creditworthiness and other factors. So by pooling the communities through a central mechanism like the Municipal Bond Bank Authority, there's synergy created for the communities, which reduces their fixed costs. It also helps increase investor interest in purchasing their municipal bonds, and from the municipality side, helps on the credit rating side. So there's definite advantages for the communities around the state to use the Municipal Bond Bank Authority. They are the Municipal Bond Bank. These communities range from one end of the state to the other, and virtually all sizes of communities, except for the very, very small ones. Currently, there's only about 50 million left in authority to hit their cap, which then would make them unable to facilitate the capital expansion of our smaller communities. And it appears that over the next 6 months, they're going to be hit with about 80 million. So they're going to come up against their statutory cap. The bill here requests an extension of $250 million up to $750 million total authority for the bond bank. Now, the fiscal note, as referenced, has some costs in it, but those costs are not general fund. They will be taken care of by the investment earnings of the bond bank. So this is clearly a bill to expand their authority to facilitate the capital requirements of our communities.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So this essentially just raises a $500,000?
To $750,000.
Would that be $500 million?
Yes.
Senator Bundy.
Zero here, zero there. They start to add up, mm-hmm. don't they? Are these bonds eventually guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the state?
No. It's a pooling mechanism and financing mechanism to allow cost reduction and make it easier for the communities to issue the bonds.
Senator Bundy.
Madam Chair, I understand that, but should the community run into financial problems, the state would not eventually be responsible for their debt?
Well, they have the authority to interdict in case of a default. But maybe what we should do is have a representative of the department come forward and explain. And to my knowledge, I don't think there's been a default, but we can certainly explore that.
Trey Burnett, come forward.
I'll give him my chair.
Okay. Both of us are trying to get out of the hot seat.
Yeah. For the record, my name is Jerry Burnett. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Revenue. The Executive Director of the Bond Bank, Devin Mitchell, was unable to come this morning because he's working on a debt issuance. So, but not for the Bond Bank, for some other general fund debt. The question that I heard was the liability of the state in case of a default. And Senator Stedman was correct that there has not been a default up to now, and of course that is an eventuality that we have to be prepared for. But the general obligation debt of the municipal bond bank is moral obligation debt of the state, which means that the commissioner of revenue would have on the bond bank authority would come to the legislature and ask for an appropriation. The legislature has no obligation to make that appropriation, but we have the obligation to ask for it. There is no other obligation created to the state beyond that.
Senator Bundy, did you have further questions?
Yes, thank you. And what impact would this increase, if any, have on the state's bond rating, knowing that we have this moral, if not legal, obligation?
To the chair, Senator Bundy, we believe it would have no impact on the state's debt rating. It's the state's general obligation or general fund debt at this point.
Yep. Madam Chair, and I realize we haven't had a community default, but I'm just thinking about potentials, and while this is a moral obligation, I know the pressure on the legislature for municipal revenue sharing. I can only imagine what the pressure would be. This would be our new longevity bonus issue or something. And so I think we have to be aware of that as we go into this. I know there's been discussions at this table of trying to pay down debt, and this now, of course, encourages further debt. And the communities, hopefully go into this with their eyes very much wide open. But I think, even though it's not legally binding, that any default would end up at the feet of the legislature eventually and would be a responsibility of the general fund.
Senator Stedman.
Yes, if I could just speak to that for a moment. There is some, and I'm looking here in a financial report, and I apologize for not being able to put my finger right on it, but there is a some funding mechanism within the system to help alleviate that. There's bond covenants that have to be met, but for the issuers. But say there is a community, it doesn't matter if it was Anchorage or Fairbanks or Ketchikan or Juneau or Kodiak, you know, whatever of our communities in the state, if they were ever to face general obligation default issues, the state, regardless, in my opinion, regardless if they were in this program or not, but just say hypothetically they're not, I think the state would be stepping in because they would have implications around the state if we start looking at a community default issue. So to get to the point of default, they'd be breaching their covenants, and we'd have ample warning that there is substantial financial difficulty in one of our communities to step in. But we have to remember that the state is the deep pockets that the communities go to whenever they get into a predicament that they cannot get themselves out of. One of the things that makes it kind of nice when you have an instrument like this is to use the bond bank. They've got to meet the bond covenants. And that, in my opinion, gives the state a little bit more comfort in the underwriting of these bonds. And also there's a mechanism when they're using the bond bank that if there was potential default and they're having cash flow problems, it would become red flagged by the municipal bond bank, and then in turn would be floating up into the legislature. We'd be aware of it, and we'd have ample time to try to deal with those situations.
Madam Chair, I think Senator Stedman makes my point very well, and there are communities that exist in Alaska right now that are not anxious to be financially responsible for themselves, and so I'm not saying we shouldn't do this. I think we need to do it with potential ultimate outcomes in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bundy. Are there other questions? Jerry, did you have further?
I did want to mention one other issue here, and that is that the Municipal Bond Bank has been paying a dividend to the state for the past several years. It was originally capitalized with approximately $18 million, and so far it's paid about $26 million back to the state. Okay. So it is not only self-supporting, but actually is a positive for the state.
All of this started with $18 million? My goodness.
Madam Chair.
What year was that?
1977, I believe.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Over the history of the bond bank, the vast majority of the bonding authority has been used for school construction. Is that still true today?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I don't believe that most of the newer issues are school construction, but I would have to go back and look at the specifics on those. But looking at the report, I think most of the more recent ones have been other types of projects.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, are there other questions? Senator Stedman, was there anything else you wish to bring forward to us?
Just a little bit of elaboration on the current one. I see Senator Hoffman, they're looking at the statement, but in the 05 issues, there was a elementary, middle, and high school renovation in Petersburg of the schools. There was an ice rink in Palmer. Juneau, there was a hospital. Anchorage's Performing Arts Center. Kodiak, there was a high school, a new pool. Haydak was a small boat harbor. Ketchikan, Fairbanks, Cordova, and the University of Alaska, Sitka. Those are bond refunding. North Pole, there were street improvements. So I guess the message is there is school funding involved here, but it really touches all of the organized, more of the organized areas of the state of Alaska. And by distribution, it appears that the southern part of Alaska, including southeast up through Anchorage and the area, use this mechanism more so than Central Park, which is Fairbanks. And the North Slope uses it more than the Fairbanks area in the chain. So it really covers the whole state.
Okay. Were you reading from this? Where were you reading those projects?
Let me look
8-7.
Here.
8-7.
Yes.
I've got it right here. Okay, thank you. This is a wide variety.
Yes. And if I could, Madam Chair, I think possibly Senator Hoffman was referring to page 8. There's a little pie chart that kind of gives a nice split up of kind of what the funds are used for. And I'd also like to add in closing, Madam Chair, that you know, when the state can offer a mechanism for pooling, it does save the citizens of the communities just because of the lower interest rate they have to pay on their debt.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Does anyone want to hold this for another day for further review? Senator Wilkin.
Madam Chair, move to report Senate Bill 265, version A, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
There being no objection, Senate Bill 265 moves from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes. Senator Wilkin, do we need to come back today for anything?
Nope.
Nope.
Tomorrow.
Gentlemen, we are adjourned.